Well, 2011 is our 90th year, as most of you know. A year to look back on 90 years of ministry, and a year to look forward to where God is taking us in the future. And as this is our AGM morning, we are taking our break from our sermon series on Luke, and we'll take a brief look at three aspects of living the Christian life. And the first one of these is growing in my love and relationship with Christ. And can I say at the outset that growth is important? We must be growing. We read in John 15, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Well, whatever else these verses teach us, and there is much that they do, they teach us that we must be growing. We must be bearing fruit as believers. And we do this as we remain in Jesus. As believers, we are joined to Christ. We are dependent on Christ, and we are to grow in Christ. Colossians 3 tells us that we are to have a new mindset. We read in verses 1 to 4. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Our culture says, maximize your pleasure. God says, set your hearts and minds on things above. As the Lord's Prayer teaches us, it is to be God's name and God's kingdom and God's will that take priority in our lives, not being concerned for our own reputation or building our own kingdom or pursuing our own will. And in the verses that follow in Colossians, we are told how to do this. And we're to do it in two ways. Firstly, by being an assassin. And secondly, by being a fashion model. Let me explain. Firstly, an assassin, verse 5 to 9. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these. Anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices. Yes, be an assassin. Put to death those things. But secondly, a fashion model, in the sense that we are to put on many things. Verse 10, and you have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. And then verse 12, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Well, what can you do to be growing in your love and relationship with Christ? For many of us, the urgent can crowd out the important. But we must put the first things first. So Romans 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Have you been noticing the emphasis on our minds in the verses that have been read out? We are to set our minds on things above, Colossians tells us. And Romans, we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Now, friends, I know that it is always berated as being the constant application of preachers. But in this, our 90th year, can I challenge you to commit yourself to the regular reading of God's word so that your minds can be renewed? You may set yourself the challenge to read the Bible in 1 year, and you can buy the 1 year Bible. Matthias Media put out daily reading notes so that you can read for 5 days out of seven portions of the scriptures and meditate on them, and then have some questions to guide your reading. Or just use your Bible and a notebook where you write some things down, questions that come to mind, or commands to obey, or promises to hang on to. But whatever else you do in our 90th year, why don't we all set ourselves the goal to be more urgent and more diligent in our private reading of the scriptures, so that we are growing in our love and relationship with Christ, so that our minds are being renewed. Well, secondly, growing in our relationship with, love for, and commitment to the body of Christ, our church family, those that are around here this morning. As you read the New Testament, you notice a number of pictures or images for the church. There is the flock, the vine, the building, the bride, the temple, and gathering, to name just some. And in all of these, the corporate nature of church is emphasised. We are to do our part, or the body will be weak, sick, or emaciated. Ephesians 4 from verse 11. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And we saw it in our reading from Corinthians as well. As we think of our commitment to the body of Christ, are we committed to being in regular fellowship with other Christians? We are in our 90th year, and I want to challenge you to commit to being in church 90% of the time. We need you so that the body of Christ may be built up. As we read in Hebrews 10, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And as we fellowship together, is our attitude one of caring, accepting, forgiving, loving, and building up other Christians? Do we come with the attitude of a spectator or that of a participant? Do we come thinking of others, or do we come thinking only of ourselves? Now, I'm going to read out Romans 12, verses 9 to 17. And as I read, just look out for a phrase that is repeated and see if you pick it up. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. Did you notice what the phrase was? I'm sure some of you did. One another. Did you pick it up there? It occurs three times. Be devoted to one another. Honour one another. Live in harmony with one another. Well, how can we be concerned for one another? Well, one way is to do what I've already said. Be committed to being here. And a goal is 90% of the time. 90% of our people in church on any one Sunday, and each of us here 90% of the time. That would have a huge impact on us, I would suggest. But that's only the start. There is much more that we can do. Come early. Leave late. Be on the lookout for people who might not know the way around the books we use, or not sure where to go for Sunday kids. Sit up the front so people coming in late can come in the back and not be embarrassed. Move into the centre so people can sit on the ends and not have to climb over you. Pray for the preacher and for the people listening. At morning tea, instead of making a beeline for your friends, make a beeline for someone you don't know, and then take them and introduce them to your friends. If something needs doing, do it. Moving tables, opening windows, telling the sound person if it is too soft or too loud, don't just think it's someone else's job. All of this is what one person has called the ministry of the pew. And there's a great article on the ministry of the pew. If you haven't done it in your small group, ask me. I'll give you a copy. It's a great thing to work through and to pray through. And while we're on it, setting ourselves goals, we've already set ourselves the goal of having 90% of our people in small groups. It's not too late to join one. Well, will you take up these challenges? So firstly, growing in my love and relationship with Christ. Secondly, growing in my relationship with love for and commitment to the body of Christ, our church family. And thirdly and lastly, growing in my relationship with love for and commitment to the people around me and my witness to them, those that we know that don't yet know the Lord Jesus Christ. So 2 Corinthians 4, 5 and 6. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. We see there our message. Jesus Christ as Lord. We see that we need to pray that God will shine his light into people's hearts and change them. We need to commit ourselves to the service of God. Romans 10, as was read, verses 14 and 15. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. They might be smelly feet, but they're beautiful if they're bringing good news. See, the news needs to be taken out, and it needs to be spoken. Well, what can we do? I suspect for many of us, we look upon evangelism a little bit like eating an elephant. It's nigh on impossible. But how do you eat an elephant? One mouthful at a time. That's exactly right. So it looks impossible, but we make a start. And that's what we need to do in terms of wanting to reach out to others. Well, let me just give you a list of 10 things that we could be doing. Some things to think about in our desire to witness to others. Firstly, prayerfully select people and families that you believe God has placed on your heart. Choose some. That's the first step. Secondly, pray for them regularly. Thirdly, form a prayer triplet to pray for, say, three people each. Fourthly, begin to build a relationship of friendship. Five, plan some simple events to build friendship. It may be as much as inviting them over for a barbecue with a few people in your street. Six, either individually or with your prayer triplet, plan some event when the gospel is explained with gentle interaction. You might host a question and answer night at your place. Seven, train and equip yourself with a brief, crisp verbal witness. If you don't think you know how to do that, come next Sunday afternoon. Eight, invite your friends to some evangelistic event, a men's dinner, the women's food evening like we had last year. Our Archbishop is going to be preaching evangelistically at our anniversary. What better way to celebrate our anniversary than to bring someone along to hear the gospel? It's not just about us basking in our glory, but it's about us wanting to continue to be reaching out. And nine, invite them to something like an investigating Christianity course. And 10, pray that they will then transition to church and look after them as they do so. Well, 10 points there, you might think, well, that is a bit like eating an elephant. We'll start at number one. Select some people and start praying for them, and you may well be surprised the opportunities that God gives you. Well, there are three areas where we need to be growing. Growing in our love and relationship with Christ, growing in our relationship with love for and commitment to the body of Christ, our church family, and growing in our relationship with love for and commitment to people around me and in my witness to them. Given that it's our 90th year, I want to leave you, and it's our AGM, with a challenge. If you could take out that green sheet that was in your news sheet. And this isn't something for you to hand in. This is between you and the Lord. But it's what it is. It's saying that I'm going to commit myself to being pursuing those three areas. Let me read it out for you. I acknowledge that the living God is the Lord and Sovereign of the whole universe, and that He has been pleased to call me into personal knowledge of Himself in Jesus Christ, my Lord and Saviour, and then to incorporate me into His body, the family of Christian believers. I therefore desire to participate in the objective of our church to build a healthy, biblical church of Christians who take seriously their commitment to Jesus Christ as Lord, with an ongoing life of discipleship and evangelism that will reach the 12,000 people in our area and beyond to the ends of the earth. Freely admitting my own weakness and yet believing that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, I make the following commitments to establish my life on the three great essential relationships, the three loves, an expression of balanced biblical Christianity. One, I desire to grow in my relationship with, love for, and commitment to Jesus Christ as my Lord. I acknowledge that God must come first and be at the centre of my whole life. I do not belong to myself, as I have been redeemed, and that should read 1 Corinthians 6:19. So I gladly yield my daily life to His control. Two, I desire to grow in my relationship with, love for, and commitment to the body of Christ, our church family. I shall seek to be regular when the congregation assembles for worship on Sundays and in the home fellowship groups, and be responsible to encourage, serve, and build up one another, so that we are growing Christians. And thirdly, I desire to grow in my relationship with, love for, and commitment to people around me and in my witness to them. God helping me, I will aim to love one other person to Christ and into the fellowship of His/her church, and continually build up and encourage him or her until he or she reaches out to another. Well, there's a challenge. If you would like to take that up, I'd ask you at home to sign it and to date it. Have it in your Bible or have it with your prayer notes and refer to it on a regular basis and say, that's what I've committed myself to grow in my relationship with Christ, to grow in my service to God with the people here, and to be aiming to reach out to others beyond our walls. So friends, let me leave you with that challenge this morning. And just let me pray. Our Father God, we pray that we will be those who are desiring to grow in our love and relationship with Christ. We thank you for the blessing of being part of a church family, and we pray that we will continue to grow in our love and commitment for the body of Christ, our church family. And Father, continue to lay on our hearts a longing and a desire to see those around us who don't yet know you to come to faith in Christ. May we all work towards these things. We acknowledge our weakness and our frailty, but Father, help us, and by your grace, may we see growth in ourselves, in one another, for your glory, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.